right. En arche en ho logos kai ho logos en proston theon kai theos en ho logos. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, and the Word was with God in His presence. You have to be holy to be there. And the Word was God. God was the Word. So that announcement sounds like, similar to, the opening of the Bible, Bereshit bara Elohim. Meaning, in the beginning, it could be the gospel, it could be in the beginning of the world, but this one is actually speaking about both, but it's particularly speaking about in the beginning of the world, just like Elohim, in the beginning. Bereshit bara, in the beginning, God created Elohim. So, since God did that, He has only one motive, only one thing moves Him. That is, after you sin, this is post-sin, after. His only desire is to make sure that He restores you to His original intention, which is that He forgives your sins, anybody here who has sinned, and as Jonathan had said, you're not innocent of sin. You do it under the law, your left hand. God's left hand and right hand are always distinguished. This is what condemns you because you're following conscience, and conscience is not God. Conscience is not God. So you must realize there's two kinds of conscience. One is after Jesus Christ has died for you. That conscience now is pure. That's our conscience. So whatever we've done under this hand has now been redeemed by this hand. And so the right hand of God now glorifies Himself by sharing His glory with you, so that His desire is that all men might be saved, all. But He's already told us they won't. So you don't need to guess about that. All men will not come to the Lord, but His desire is for all men to come to the Lord, excluding none. So after you sin, this mercy of God changes the holiness of God to become happiness for God, because He wants to forgive you for all your sins, cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and then perfect you in love. You'd be a new creation. We all are new creations by faith. We are new creations by faith. It's not what you did, it's what He promised. It's not what you did or didn't do. No one goes to hell because of sin. No one. The only sin is unbelief. Not believing that Jesus, after you sinned, wants to give you eternal life without doing anything. For He is in you, and then He wants to cleanse you, and then He wants to perfect you in love. And the greatest of these is love, because God is love. So His loving us is why we love one another. If God hadn't loved us, if He hadn't proven that He's a loving Father, the offended one, because we sin against Him, we oppose Him, we do sin, but He's forgiven all that. He didn't do it because you merited it, like many religious people think, the most think. You're not under conscience. You're under Jesus as Lord, even of the conscience. And He purifies your conscience so that now guilt doth not remain, not only by His mercy, not only by His goodness, not only by His kindness, but everything about God is to bless you. Everything about God is to bless you. He made you, and He wants everyone to have it. Doesn't mean He forces it. He doesn't force it. You would have to decide for yourself. For yourself, you would have to decide, do I believe that Christ Jesus was sent from heaven to share the love of God with us, and starting with the foundation, which is forgiveness, which removes all guilt. Then keeping going, removing, cleansing you from all sin, so that you are now declared righteous, and cleansing us until the power of sin is broken over our lives. But today you have to do it by faith, but tomorrow you will see all these things when Jesus returns, because we've been perfected, and He is daily, every day, each one of us, personally touching you. It's not an abstraction. It's not something that's just ritual. It's not something that you can see with your eyes. This is not something that God is just saying, there is a God. No, no, no. He is a loving Father. He's never been and never will be an angry judge. So you can come to Him as you are. You can just be yourself and let God then write in His word, and that word is how you destroy forever guilt, lack of power, because He wants to live your life for you, in you, through you, for you, so that you don't have to live a holy life. He does that for you, in your stead, in your place, as a substitute. So He has made a substitutionary atonement, a sacrifice, an offering to God, satisfying God, and God is satisfied with His blood on the cross of Calvary, which died for all those sins. Now, this is good news. This is called euangelion. Eu means good, and angelion is like angel. This is good news. And so the New Testament is always full of goodness, because God promised something to Abraham, which Jesus confirmed by His death, that no sin would ever send anyone to hell. It's what you do after you sin. Believe or unbelieve. If you believe that God is good, He counts that as righteous. If you believe God is not good and that He won't forgive you for what you did or didn't do. Now, under this hand, everyone is guilty. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So the left hand, because you have a conscience, and your conscience is in your heart, even how much you sin, it's there. It tells, wrong. No, that wasn't right. You did that. Somebody else did that. Forgive them. Because God doesn't want anyone to perish. He doesn't want anyone to be lost. You're like a sheep that has gone astray, but He sees you as a lamb of His Father's flock and comes and finds you and rescues you and delivers you from all sin till He can fully restore you in Father's house. So this is the way home. Is Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. There would be no liberty on earth, none, without Christianity. I'm going to say that again. There would be no happiness or joy or peace or anything good, because only God is good. And no one else is good but God. If you were just left on your own, just based on your conscience. So this conscience, with this saving hand of God, becomes pure. You've been pardoned. So He will never hold your sins against you, ever. There is therefore now no condemnation. So guilt has lost its sting. It's lost all its power. Because even though you were guilty under the law, following your own conscience, and even though you know it and everybody knows it, everybody knows there's a God and everybody knows He's going to judge with right judgment. He will absolutely give everyone his due. But you decide that. You decide that. Do I believe that God is mean? Do I believe that God wants me to follow a law? Do I believe that what my conscience says, because conscience only makes you guilty. I'm going to say that again. Conscience does nothing to release you from your guilt. The blood of Jesus does that. Amen. He is Lord. Yeah. He is Lord, not the conscience. Yeah. So many people are Christians and they have a conscience and they've been born again. But that will not save you. Salvation is threefold. You have to, first of all, realize you're guilty and then comfort yourself by the gospel. Because God has said, I want you to comfort yourself. Not just that I am a God of comfort, but I want you to comfort yourself and say, even though I've sinned under the law, I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. I'm under the mercy of God. And so that grace and that mercy and that kindness and that goodness, that's all yours. All of that is a gift of God. You didn't have anything to do with it. You will never have anything to do with it. It has nothing to do with you at all. That's just God's free gift to everybody. So there's only freedom on the earth, not in any culture that doesn't have Christians inside of it. And Texas was born that way. Texas was born because Santa Anna, he wanted to impose, not because he cared, the Catholic religion on everybody here in Texas, because he knew the Americans had grown up in Kentucky or Alabama or wherever, and they had an idea that everybody born in America would be messed up because they would believe that God and liberty belong together. And they wrote it on all their letters. They wrote it at the bottom, liberty or death. They wrote all kinds of things together, but the favorite one was God and liberty. They go together. And Santa Anna said, no, God and slavery. God and bondage. I will be the boss and I will rule over you. Now, that has not escaped any governments, including our own. There's corruption in government. You can see it every day. It's corruption in government. So many people are led astray because they don't feel like they can be good. Well, you can't, by the way. Nobody here can stop doing wrong. And nobody here can start doing what's right. Nobody, 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 nobody. Unless you're 3 months old, like our grandbaby. They're okay. They haven't done anything yet. So they're all right. But as soon as you become 1.5 or 2 or somewhere in there, you're going to say no to your parents. No, I don't want to. It just happens. I don't know if Titus does this. Titus does that. But I mean, you grow up and you become an adult and then you don't sin anymore. Uh-huh. Well, that's a theory. So just be yourself, Titus. God loves you just the way you are. God wants you to know this is not your idea. It's born in heaven. Because God is a loving Father, never been an angry judge, never will force anyone to go to heaven or hell. Many Christians teach that he does. I'm just teaching the opposite. He doesn't. He's always a loving Father and he'll never change. The same yesterday, today, and forever. So since God never changes, because he's not a respecter of persons, doesn't care what title you have or how rich you are or how smart you are or how beautiful you are. He doesn't care about any of those items. Everyone here is loved equally by God. He loves you as much as he loves his son, Jesus Christ. As much. You say, well, maybe he loves Jesus a little bit more. No, he cannot. Part of Jesus coming is to die to himself. That's why he died. He wanted to die. He chose to die. And he did everything that pleases God on your behalf, for your advantage, for your profit, for your benefit. You are the public beneficiary of Texas. You are the moral beneficiary, because you have a conscience, which might be renewed. And you are the spiritual beneficiary of heaven. So you are in every way benefited by being here on earth because of God, not because of anything else. And if you obey God and live within the Constitution, which are documents which Christianity inspired. Before that, there were no constitutions anywhere, no matter what they said, that worked. But here, because they did not want to persecute Christians, they wanted to protect Christians, they wrote their own liberty, they had liberty to do it, their own constitutions for themselves. And every state and the nation itself wrote all of those constitutions to say, we did this on our own. It's our decision to voluntarily want to please God. John Adams said, I don't believe in monarchy. I don't believe in oligarchy or aristocracy. I don't believe in democracy. I don't believe in mixtures of other three. I only believe in one thing, the people. The people, capital, T-H-E-P-E-O-P-L-E. The people, they're the sovereign. So here in Texas, sovereignty is given by God because it's inherently in the whole body of the people. Not a monarch, one man rule, not an aristocracy, a few people passing it on through a council that they have. And without, by the way, a monarch, and without the people being involved in it. It's none of those items, because they're all corruptible. They're all potentially can be corrupted. Every one. You can't change it. And so now we have it in Texas. We have it in Illinois. You have it in Cuba. You have it everywhere. However, we are in the majority. I'll say that again because you didn't. One plus God is a majority. I don't know if you know that. One plus God is a majority. When you have God on your side, the whole world can be against you. You'll be fine. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us if God's for you? Now, you only have the bare word. All you have is the bare word. All you have is the bare word. That's all he left us, is his bare word. Everything else is invisible. You don't see God. You don't see Jesus. You don't see the Holy Spirit. You don't see heaven. You don't see anything. Everything is invisible because it's upstairs. It's not down here on earth. But when Jesus comes back again, we who are Christians, by the right hand, delivered, set free, being restored, Jew or Christian, we're new creation. The other creation didn't work because it follows conscience. This one works because it doesn't. It makes the blood of Jesus, the lordship of Jesus, the final word about civilization. So, no matter how hard you try, you cannot find happiness here. Even on your wedding day. You cannot find happiness. If you seek it, you won't find it because you can't do anything good. Now, if you don't know that, you don't understand the scripture which says, she that hath sinned much and is forgiven much, loveth much. So that's not talking about this. This is not much. Just that you violated your conscience, people can justify that. It's easy. So everyone, even little kids, they know how to do it. You can catch them on the spot. You can look at them. You can see what they're doing is wrong. But they will, I don't know who helps them here. I guess it must be the devil. But they can come up with something really quick. I didn't eat it. or I didn't, you know, whatever, they can immediately not want a spanking, and they can come up with something so quick. Right there. Now, I didn't, because we used to catch our kids. Let's say mom was scolding them, and if they would just even roll their eyes, they got a spanking. So one day, I was walking down the hall, and I could hear her talking about it. And she said, "Don't be rolling your eyes." And I said, "Go get the stick." They had to have a stick. And they said, "Dad, Dad, I didn't roll my eyes. I didn't like do that." And they just came up with that right on the spot. And so that means, you know. And so I forgave them. You know, I forgive him because I knew they were sincere. And so that's how we raised them. We raised them under the law, but we were very merciful. And because of that, the kids now, even David, they imagine with their vain imaginations that we were good parents. We weren't. We were definitely not. But we just muffed along like everybody else, and so on and so forth. But the kids turned out great. Why? But not because what we did or didn't do. It's because what God kept his promise to us. Raise up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. And so we didn't have a lot of rules except obey your mother and father and Jesus. And by doing that, all you have to do is be a godly woman or a godly man. That's about all we want. So performance is out. This is not an abstraction. This is not performing. You can't perform this. This is something God hath done for you, in you, through you. For you, in you, through you. And so God wants everyone here to be happy all the time. All the time. All the time. Now, how many here are happy all the time? Quite a few. Liars. No, it doesn't matter, because it's by faith. All you have to do is read the Word. When the Word says you're forgiven, you're forgiven. He knows what's good. What's good is you didn't do it, but God did it for you, and he counts that. He counts that for you. If you didn't do it and he did it for you, he counts that, if you believe he is good, that he'll keep his promise. And so God swore an oath to Abraham. And Abraham decided that he better listen. Faith cometh by hearing, not by faith, by hearing. I know what it says, but it doesn't come by faith. Faith is a gift, just like repentance is a gift, just like everything is a gift, and it's all from heaven. So you're happy if you realize everything good in this world is not from here. It's not from here. And I know people imagine things about how it is, but I'm just going to tell you, your conscience is not enough to save you. Your conscience is not tall enough. The ladder isn't tall enough to reach all the way to heaven. Your conscience says you are guilty because you violated your conscience. You violated the conscience. The inner voice of God was in you, but you didn't do it. And it can only make you guilty. It does not make you innocent. There's no way the conscience would ever say, you did good. It won't say that. It'll say, you almost did good, but he won't say you did good. Nice try, you know. But you are actually guilty. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the one. Pay attention to his words. Pay attention. Don't pay attention to God's law, because the law will not get you there either. Conscience doesn't do it. Laws won't do it. Nothing will do it except the blood of Jesus Christ on that cross. Your sins are forgiven. Then he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and then he will perfect you in love. Now, you have nothing to do with any of that. That's simply God's pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's simply God's pleasure to give you, in this world as well as the next, happiness. And your happiness is not something you see. It's something you believe. I believe that what God said is the truth. And if he says, I'm happy, happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. If he says I'm happy, then I'm happy. Right? Yeah. Do you understand? I'm just the concept. I don't care if you really believe it in your heart. Just say it with your words. He says, I'm innocent. He says, I'm not guilty. He says, I've forgiven your sins, and you don't have any more, and there is therefore now no condemnation for them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. If you were a pastor, you could do that. Only pastors can do that. So, Tommy, your sins will not send you to hell, no matter how numerous they were, because Jesus died for them a long time ago. In fact, he died not only on the cross, he died before the cross because he was crucified before the foundation of the world. Before there even was a world, he was already set up to come, and he had to wait 4 days to come. A day with the Lord is 4,000 years. 4,000 years later, he was born, what we call Christmas. Christmas is not an accurate word, but that's when he came into the world. Since then, there's been another 2,000 years. So now it's 6,000 years, and now we're in the 7,000th year, and he's going to come back very soon. When? Well, nobody knows. No man knows. Nobody can know. You can't know. But one thing you can know, because he's written it down in the Bible, there are going to be 1,260 days of Jacob's trouble when the Jewish people have to go through the fire one more time. Six already, seventh, and you're only purified after the seventh punishment. In other words, what God is going to do is send them through one more time. And there are people today that are anti-Semitic, whatever word you want to use. They don't like Jewish people. But some of the people that want to do them in are also Semitic. They're also Semitic. They're relatives. And they want to do them in. But God doesn't see it that way. God sees, no, I'm cleansing Israel. And when I cleanse them, this is not a painful thing. It looks painful, but it's not. That's how I renew people, because I cause these things. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do it. I cause these things, and I do it in such a way that you don't know that was me. How many know God has a hidden hand? This one. This right hand which wrote on your heart, you belong to me, Julia, says God, and no one else can be your God except me and my son Jesus, who's standing between us, and he'll be the mediator between you and me. He'll accomplish what I want, and he also will accomplish what you want. You want my sins to be on Jesus, and he wants his righteousness to be on you. Good exchange. That's a powerful exchanged life. His life for yours. And when God does that, he wants everyone not only to wait till heaven, you can start living in heaven today. Because this is the house of God. This is the house of God. Why? It's not a building. It's not a building. You're the building. He's building. And so anyone who names Jesus Christ as his Lord, because you've been called out. So will we win or lose? You always win. God has never lost. And never will he ever lose. The devil has never won, and neither will he ever win. He only gets what's his. He only gets what's his. Those people that just follow the conscience. But that's enough to condemn you. But you have a different conscience, purified. Pure conscience. This is the conscience on this side, not on this side. So this conscience makes everybody guilty. Because sooner or later, everyone is going to violate their conscience. It's absolute. And he counts that. That is your natural, not heavenly, But that is your natural, not spiritual. This is spiritual. You have a spiritual life that Jesus just gave you. Not because you deserved it. You didn't deserve it. Not according to conscience, because he wrote on the conscience, be good, avoid evil. Be good, avoid evil. But nobody ever did it. Nobody ever did it except Jesus Christ. And he did it for you. And he'll continue to bless you though you don't deserve it. So, what's going to happen to politics? What's going to happen to the economy? What's going to happen to, society? Well, it's going to continue as it is. It's not going to change. It's never changed, by the way, unless there's a Christian. Christians then pray for, bless, forgive, love. Christians do all that. And there wouldn't be any if it weren't for us. There'd be no liberty. There'd be no freedom. There'd be no anything. All the good things on this earth are due to the pleasure of God. His will is that you be happy from now on. And you can teach your kids that. That there's peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Capital P, God, and then neighbor, little p. In other words, you have peace with your neighbor, which is the end of the law, because you have peace with God. So all your work for the neighbor is actually due to the relationship you have with Jesus Christ. So the only relationship before you get married, the only relationship you want is one with God. So when God has a relationship with you, which he initiates because he's good, and you read his word, and you believe in that word, and just by faith, believing in that word, which comes from the fact that by reading it with just head knowledge, that's why it's good for us to be here and just share head knowledge, is because everyone wants to be happy. They can't find it. Nothing on earth makes you happy. Wealth, beauty, goodness, smart, whatever. He doesn't count those things. They will not get you to heaven. You'll sin in every one of them. You can't stop that. You can't start doing what's right. Well, I'm going to be good. Yeah, you can say that all day long, but you won't be. And you'll never be. Not even for all eternity, you will never be good, except you have a relationship to Jesus Christ who lives your life for you, in you, through you, etc. He wants an eternal, everlasting, world without end relationship with his people. You are his people. That's powerful. So I want to read the first chapter, and I want to read it differently than you've probably had it read before, and show you why John the Baptist is not the light. Because John the Baptist followed his conscience. John the Baptist was a Jewish person, not yet born again. There was a man, verse 6, sent from God. John the Baptist is not sent from this world. There was a man sent from God up in heaven. His name was John. He came for a witness that he might witness concerning the light. So there's two things in the world, darkness and light. Darkness, light. Darkness, light. Nature, this is now a new, perfect religion. Not like other religions that are over here. And they'll be judged if they only follow their conscience. I don't want to be explicit, so I won't. But all other religions are under a law. You have to behave. The whole school system's under a law. You have to behave. The media is under a law. Everything is under the law except us. And we made America. We the people made America. And we the people wrote our own constitution. And Santa Anna was wrong. In 18 minutes, General Sam Houston won the victory over the tyrant. Over. Even though he tried to come back several times because he lied. I'll go home and I'll speak well of you. No, he never did that. He came back with troops and troops and troops, but they never made it. They never made it again. So that day at San Jacinto, 1836, 21st of April, on that day, it's over. Was it March or was it April? No, it was March. Where are we now? Almost there. And so on that day, at 3:30 in the afternoon, when the 1,500 troops that were under Santa Anna were taking a siesta, the Americans, because they were under Sam Houston, who's really smart, he said, burn the bridge so that they can't escape when we win. Now, they only had 783 soldiers. So 783 against 1,500, and their cannons were twice the millimeters, twice the size. But you know what? We won and they lost. Forget how it happened. Just in 18 minutes or less, it was over. And Santa Anna ran away that day. And the next day they found him. But he had given up his uniform to somebody. And he was just dressed in a peasant's outfit. And when he walked into camp, all the people stood and said, El Presidente. that was wrong. But they couldn't help it. I mean, they were so used to being under a law. El Presidente. And so that kind of gave it away. Oh, you're dressed in a peasant's uniform. How many know that Christians are the only ones having fun? Because we have good news. And we constantly thrive on the good news of our faith. Why? Because it's so good. You know the whole world is vulnerable? Did you know that the harvest is ripe and the laborers are few? All you need is laborers. By the way, this you don't need to respond to, but yesterday, or 2 days ago, Joel wrote me a letter because I said, is there anything you need? What are you praying for? And he said, well, I need 10 acres of land, because he had just harvested, because there are three harvests in Uganda. He had just harvested on the 10 acres we bought them earlier in this year, and they already had a harvest. So, and they got 100 kilo bags, which are, you know, big bags, for export. They sold that into the market, so they're not dependent upon any money coming from here or anywhere else. But he said, tell me what you're praying about, and I'm planning to come in, what did I say, April? Yeah, April 22nd through the 30th. So anyone who wants to go, you can go. I want to see then that they got the money for buying the 10 acres of land, and then he wanted another, he had eight-room maternity ward that he was building, and we already paid for the foundation and the walls and the roof and everything else. And they were all ready, except that they needed to finish it up. So he needed a few thousand dollars for that. So yesterday, or was it the day before, I went to the bank and put all that money in there, and then he wrote back something like this, "Woohoo!" However that's written out. He was so excited because they've been praying for us and arranging everything, and they're excited. That is loving your neighbor. That is loving a neighbor. Now, we have neighbors everywhere. In fact, the whole world is our neighbor. I'm not mad at anybody in the world. I'm not judging anybody in the world. I can make a judgment. They did wrong. But I know there's mercy for a person that does wrong. There's mercy. There's grace. There's forgiveness. There's pardon for anybody that does anything wrong. And it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. That's the way it's written in the Bible. And whatever the Bible says, that's the way it is. Whatever the Bible says, that's the way it is. But only God can remake you in His own image and according to His own likeness, even though in originally you were created to be a servant on the earth to serve Him this way. But now He's renewed that so that everything is here in the right hand. And His right hand saveth you. And that right hand is that if God be for you, who can be against you? If God be for you, if, it's a condition. If God be for you, well, He is. It's for everybody. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He never has had that thought in His mind. I hope some bad people don't make it. No, He's never had that. He's always wanted to save bad people. And we have a few in this church. How many of you are bad? I'm not talking about your deeds. I'm talking about your person. Did you hear what I just said? I'm not talking about your deeds. Everyone knows they do wrong, but they think if I do right, I'll make up for it. Not true. That's a lie. That comes out of Catholicism. That comes out of Judaism. That comes out of Muslim. That comes out of all the other religions in the world. They're trying to behave themselves as though God will be pleased. God can't be pleased with you when He already is. Amen. Did you hear what I just said? When you were born as a baby and conceived in the womb 9 months earlier than when you came out and were born, when you were conceived in the womb, He wrote with this finger, this right hand finger, just this one, with the finger of God, He wrote upon your heart, this one belongs to Me. He did that on everybody's heart who has ever been created by God. Wow, that is where your conscience is. Oh, wow, I don't want to do wrong. Everyone starts out with noble ideas, but ends up corrupted. Yeah. I mean, you started out with noble ideas. And so you think that, because I had the idea, maybe it's true. The ideas don't do anything. Your mind is completely confused. Not yours. Because it's your birthday, isn't it? So, we don't understand how could God be good in a world like this. God has always sent His people right in the midst of the darkest, darkest, darkest place. His people. Everywhere you go, you create life. Everywhere you go, you create hope. Everywhere you go, you create faith, love, joy, peace. Everything. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and mercy, and meekness, and self-control. All of those fruits are from heaven. They're not nothing anybody ever has done on the earth, anybody except Jesus, and He did it for you. He loved God with all His heart, all His soul, all His strength, and He loved your neighbor as Himself, for you, on your behalf, for your benefit. Now you're clean. You're purified. You don't have to see it to believe it. Someday you'll see what you've already believed. Someday you'll see what you've already been believed. Though worms destroy this body, yet I will see God, Job said, in the land of the living. I will see Him with these eyes. I will see Him. Job was prophesying, and God said to him, he's a perfect man. He's a perfect man. Why? What made him perfect was not that he was restored. That was just a symptom. What made him perfect was he believed that God was better than people said He was. He believed that God was even more wonderful than his friends said, who said, I know why you were rich, because God was protecting you. But now you've made a sin. And if you just confess your sins, He'll bless you again. And they said, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't believe that my sin would send me to hell or make me perish or destroy. I don't believe that. I believe God is better than what you say. And in the end, he put his hand on his mouth because the living God came downstairs talk to him in a whirlwind. In the whirlwind, God always surrounds himself with darkness, because you can't know anything about God unless he reveals it. But what he's revealed is in the Word. You live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Anyway, what happened was he began and God told him, now that I'm going to restore you and you'll have twice as much as you had before, and you'll have beautiful daughters, 7 of them, and you'll be twice as rich as you were. You'll have your reputation back. I'm going to give you everything I originally intended. And pray for your enemies. Pray for your friends. Pray for people that led you astray. Religion is false over here. It's true over here. God does everything for you. Now, are you happy right now just because you heard the good news that God's not mad at anybody? Never has been, never will be. He wants everybody to be saved, but he won't force it. It's up to you. That's how much, when I make a promise, I create a right in you to believe that I will keep my promise. So the promiser says to the promisee, God said to Abraham. The promiser, God, said to Abraham, the promisee, and created a right in him, and that right is yours. And then Jesus confirmed it by his blood 2,000 years later. And that is what you're going to put all your hope in, is that God is good, and he proved it. He proved it, because he couldn't sacrifice his own son. That would be a good work, because God said to him, here's the thing I want to test your faith. Here's the thing. If you go and kill your son, which is so precious to you, he was born when you were 100 years old. If you don't kill him right now, then I'll know you love me. And so, without telling Sarah, his wife, would have gotten out of house if he had told her. But he didn't say anything. And he's 3 days away. He was 3 days away. It's important these numbers mean something. And he could see Jerusalem. He could see the rock that he would find. And that was called Mount Moriah in those days. It's now the same rock that's right there today whenever you go to Israel. And it hadn't changed. But on that rock, he was about to sacrifice his son because God said to do it. And Abraham was thinking, the reason we know it is because it's in the New Testament. He was thinking, if I kill Isaac, from who the Messiah will come from Isaac, if I kill him now, God will resurrect him. So it was a good work, and he even believed God wanted him to do it. But as soon as he got near to his son with his knife, as soon as he did, the angel cried out to him, the angel of the Lord, Abraham, Abraham, lay not your hand on that lad. Whoa, who is that? Who is that? Don't sacrifice him. Don't do a good work. Halt. So he didn't lay a hand on him. And then it said, in that same place, Abraham realized, I'm seeing that 1,000 years from now, 2,000 years from now, 3,000 years from now, Jesus is going to have another day. So, and he saw that day, and a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. So that's 1,000 years during the millennium, which comes right after the Jews are cleansed, which they'll be ready to be new creations, and they will then infect the 12 tribes of Israel who will be on the land. Everything is going your way. You don't have any understanding of history. You can read it all day long. You won't get the truth, because history is just something that happened in the past. But your future is bright. Israel's future is bright. All of mankind has a bright civilization yet ahead when Jesus hands back all the kingdoms of this world, all of the nations of this world, because he's the governor of the nations. He'll hand them back to God, and God now has the original earth that he created. Original earth that he created in order for the first time ever. So you are now the first fruits of the first fruits. Jesus is the first fruits, and you're the first fruits of the first fruits. So now you're God's people, and you are now having a charge on your life is avoid evil and do good, but do it by faith. Avoid evil, and I want you to, avoid evil and then do good. But Jesus does that in you and through you and for you, so you don't have to do it. How many here, it's frustrating to be a Christian because you want to do good works, right? You want to do them, you can't. And the goodest thing you can do, man in his best state is altogether vanity, the goodest thing you can do is be vain. Well, that's a sin. And so with your pride wanting to do good work and thank God, he doesn't want you to thank him that way. He wants you to thank him for doing everything that he asked you to do because he did it for you. Long before you were awake, long before you had your eyes open, he already gave this light in the world. John the Baptist was not the light, but he came to bear witness to that light. And the light was the life of Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Wow. So the world now has light in it. Don't let it be pushed aside. It doesn't matter what other Christians do. Leave them do what they do. It doesn't matter because God wants you who are hot for God. I'm hot. Say it, I'm hot.
Hot.
You are hot. Not in the wrong sense. You're hot because that's called zestos in the Greek language. Zestos means you are not lukewarm, kliaros. You are not lukewarm like Christians who are pretty much Christians, but not exactly. Well, they're trying to do good works, and so they're frustrated because you can't do good works. God doesn't want you to do good works. He already did the good work for you, and now he's doing it in you, and then he'll do it through you. To God be the glory. That's powerful. It's a free gift. Everything is a free gift. Thank you, Jesus, for doing everything. I did nothing, because you were nothing. You were created out of nothing. Did you know there was a time when you weren't? But now that you're here, wouldn't you like to stay a while? And know God and please God? He's already pleased with you. The minute he made you, he didn't make junk. He made something special. Everybody is precious in his eyes. If you know that, it'll change your life forever. If you know that everything good in this world is a gift to God, and he wants you to enjoy it now, not later, now. You can live like heaven on earth. Heaven on earth. Start with your own family. Start with your own family. Now, what are you going to do? Nothing. Just be yourself. Just be yourself. That's the neat thing, is that our sins were imputed to Jesus and his righteousness was imputed to us. That's a double imputation. That's an exchange. Total exchange. Your sin and the death that follows it, according to his righteousness and the works that flow from it. So now you love your neighbor as yourself. And you did it already through Jesus Christ. Does that make any sense to anybody? All I can do is declare it. All I can do is deliver the message that this is all good news. Everything in the New Testament is good news, and it redeems everything in the Old Testament. The type is in the Old Testament. The antitype is here. In other words, this is the fulfillment of what was spoken here. So that's a type. But it's so confusing. If you read the Old Testament, you'd think you'd have to do something. But in the New Testament says, oh, by the way, I didn't tell you. You don't have to do anything. Jesus is here. Once you have a God living in your heart, and that's the only way he can purify your heart, living in your heart, he cleanses everything. And it's good that he started out with the Holy of Holies. Your heart is actually the center of you. And your heart now is filled with Jesus Christ. And all you have in this world is Jesus Christ. But that's all you need. That's all you want. Written, marry Jesus first, then get married. Now, some people marry without Jesus. It's hard. Think, well, I think she loves me. I think I love her. So, Let's get married. That's funny. It won't work. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Right? You had that. Yeah. You had that experience. Yeah. Many have had that experience. You can be married 15 times. That is not going to send you to hell. You can commit murder. It's not going to send you to hell. You can break all the Ten Commandments. I'm not encouraging anyone. I'm just saying you could do all that and you won't go to hell because of that. You'll go to hell because you didn't believe that after you sinned, God would forgive your sin and then change you and then perfect you. That is all there is to Christianity. Simple. Yeah. All there is God is good. All you have to know is God is good. All you have to know is God is like my parents, only better. Way better. Yeah, way better. Way better. Yeah. That's experience. All right. Yeah. Amen. All right. God is good. Oboe. Where is Oboe? See here? Where is he? Oh, Oboe. Close in prayer.